Well, I'm glad to be here today. What I do is I pester pastors for a living. Y'all don't get to do that, but that's my job. I get to go around encouraging, challenging pastors along the way. There are times in life that we get to a place that we start focusing on the wrong thing. Have you ever done that? There's a guy by the name of, let me make sure I get his name right. His name is Matt Ammons. Anybody ever heard of Matt Ammons? He was an amazing shooter in the Olympics. And in 2004, he was on the last of three sets of shots, where all he had to do was just shoot a mediocre shot and he would have won the Olympics. And he shot at the target, and most all of his shots were within the size of a nickel. The only problem is he was shooting at the wrong target. He got eighth place because he had focused on the wrong thing. Now, in our Christian life, there are times that we go in and out, I think. At least me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But we go in and out. We focus on things that are about us, about me, mine, and we lose the focus of Jesus. And then we realize when everything starts coming apart, we realize we need Jesus, and we turn back to Jesus. But if we could stay focused on Jesus all the time, our life would be balanced. It would be blessed. We would be full of joy. Life would go in a good direction. Now, there would be obstacles because we have an enemy. Make no mistake. But I want to challenge you how to focus on the right thing. And I want you to focus on the very thing that will lead you to a holy and godly life. Yes. And so turn with me, if you would, to Colossians, the third chapter of Colossians. And I've been studying this book of Colossians in particular since the day I was married. My wife and I on our honeymoon started memorizing these verses right here. I think on our honeymoon we memorized verses 1 through 3. But this has been a major focus of my ministry. And yet, I've been shooting at the wrong target so many times I can't even count. But I know this is the right path. I know that this is the right thing. And I want to challenge you to join me as I try to focus my life on Jesus this morning. And I'm going to try to encourage you to do the very same thing. So in chapter 3 of Colossians, it begins with something that is strange for us, because it begins to talk about another realm. And he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So the question remains, when were you raised with Christ? Now let me ask this question. As a little boy, when your dad was growing up, were you there? in a sense, were you a part of him? If he had died as a little boy, you wouldn't be here, right? So a part of him, you were with him, you were in him, in a sense. In fact, you could just keep going back and you could say, you were in Adam, weren't you? I mean, all mankind, everybody that's ever existed on this earth has come from Adam and Eve. And so the Bible refers to it as that we were once in Adam. We were a part. And so when Adam sinned, we sinned. We were a part of his existence. We were a part of his life. And so what when Jesus came and gave his life and he surrendered his life to die on the cross for us, what he was doing was opening a new realm of existence outside of Adam's family. And he invites us to come to be transferred from Adam's family into the family of God. And so when we make the choice to receive Jesus into our life, that we surrender our life with him, then we join him in everything that he's done. And this verse begins with this concept of saying, if then you be raised with Christ. Now, Christ was raised on the cross. If you be raised with Christ, he says, seek things that are above. It's in the past tense. Look at it. If you have been raised with Christ. So he is talking to us about a different realm than what we see around us. It's the realm where we are in Christ, no longer a part of Adam's family. I believe, now this is my interpretation. I could be wrong. But I believe when we come to Christ and we surrender our life, then we must die. And I believe that Jesus stops our heart, and I believe in a literal fashion, he stops our heart for a moment and he counts us as being dead, and then he gives us his life, and we start beating with his life in us. And we have been transferred from Adam's family into the family of God. It's one of the most thrilling things I can ever conceive of, that I've moved from one realm, from the realm of Adam, into the realm of God, from being earthly to becoming heavenly. And so there is this, you could interpret this in this way, since you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, did you do that this morning? See, he's giving us a command. He's giving us instruction on how to live.
Yes, amen.
He's saying, I want you to rise above the things of this world. Because in Adam's family, it's the darkness is growing. The temptation, the struggle of this world is growing. It's bigger than it was. And so what he wants us to do is to seek things that are above. What are you seeking today? What are you after? Is it things above? He goes on in verse 2. He says, set your mind on things above, where not on things on the earth. He is saying it's not a both and. It's an either or. He said, I want you to think about heavenly things. Now, how can we do that? My wife and I made a decision early in our marriage that we would pray before every meal. No matter where we were. At a restaurant, we tend to hold hands in our prayer, and that goes back to an old thing that we would hold hands during the prayer so that our kids wouldn't eat during the prayer. So we continue that tradition that we hold hands during our prayer, and we look to heaven and we ask Jesus to bless this meal. I believe that that's like seeking things that are above. I mean, it's a simple thing that in that moment that we realize that we are receiving a gift from God. And that we're looking to heaven and we're saying, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this meal and we pray that you would bless it. I believe that's what he is describing for us. He says, I want you to start seeking things that are above. Can you go through a day without thinking about Jesus? I think you can. I think we have the ability to do it. I know that I've done it. That I would focus on a project or something in this world and it would become so dominant in my thinking that I would lose track of things that are above. I wouldn't think about Jesus for a day. I could become like an agnostic in that day. An agnostic is someone that believes there is a God but lives their life as if there's not. We could become a one-day agnostic. Now, the way to prevent that is for us to continually, and this is the command here, this is the he says, I want you to seek things that are above. I want you to set your mind on things that are above. He says, so I want you to change your mind. I want you to change the way you think. I want you to change your outlook. I want you to change everything. And we're going to get to the good part, how to do it. We need to come to a realization, we need to come to a knowledge and understanding that something is different for us. Now that we've received Christ, that we are in Christ instead of in Adam. It says in verse 3, it says, For you have died. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Now, so how many desires does a dead man have? We need to count our life to be dead to this world. Now, death really means separation. It doesn't mean annihilation. Yes. It means separation. So we need to separate ourselves from the things of this world.
Yes. Amen.
He says, now, your real life is hidden in Christ. So that would change. If that's true, that would change the focus of my thinking, wouldn't it? You?
Right. Yes.
That if I'm indeed in Christ, then my life, I have died. I've died to this world. I don't have to live like the world anymore.
No.
He says in verse 4, he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Because there's going to be one day when Jesus comes back that we are going to appear with him. We are going to be with him because we are in Christ. We're going to appear with him in glory. Now, I don't know what glory means, but I think it's pretty good, whatever it is. I think I want some of that. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the moment that when Jesus comes, I can be with him. In fact, there's been some times that I've tried to practice jumping. I'm so looking forward to Jesus coming. I want to be with him sooner. I'm longing for his coming. And so he says in verse 5, he gives us some things that we need to be about. He says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. He says, separate yourself. Put to death. He says, separate yourself from these things. He says, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, can you do those things? I don't believe that you can. But Christ can. There's only one person in all the universe that can live the Christian life, and that's Jesus. And so I need to die to myself. I need to die to this world, and I need to let Jesus live in me and live through me. That I need to move into a spiritual realm. And I need to let Jesus put to death sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness. In verse 6, it says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming. And if I am found separated from Christ, the wrath of God is coming for me. But if I am found to be in Christ, he has already begun, maybe completed, that he has put to death those things in my life. I need to allow him the right to do it. I need to It's really that we need to cooperate with God. How many times do we try to help God out? I mean, we say, oh, I know what I need to do. and we're ignoring what God wants us to do? How's that going to work? How's that going to end up? It's going to end up in a wreck. It's going to end up badly for us. It says, not only account of these, the wrath of God is coming, but it says in verse 7, in these you too once walked when you lived in them. When you were in Adam's family, you walked in those things, in sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness. You lived in them. You that's part of being in Adam. That's what happens in Adam's family. But when we come to Christ, he sets us free. Amen. We give up something. We give up our life so that we get his life. Amen. His life is better than our life. His life is everything for us. He says, but now in verse 8, he says, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. When we are in Christ, the purpose of Christ living in us is to change us into his image. I remember one day that I stood up to preach, and a man looked at me kind of firmly, and then after the sermon, he came to me, and he said, "You're Bud Pierce's boy." I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "I haven't seen Bud in 30 years. And we were 450 miles or so from home. But he knew who I was because I was made in the image of my father. The older I get, the more I look like him. And I hope the more I act like him. Are you created in the image of your Heavenly Father through Christ? That's what he's about. That's what he's doing. And sometimes it's unpleasant for us because there are some rough edges in our life that he has to knock off or cut off or shave off or sand off. But and sometimes it's hard. But he says we must put the things of this world away. He says put them all away. He says now's the time. The anger. How many times have you been angry this week? The wrath, the malice, the slander, obscene talk. He says you must put them all away. Now's the time. The only way to do that is allow Christ to do it through us. And so when we come to Christ, we must put off the old self. We must take the old self off. And we put on the new self, which is Christ himself. That we put on Christ. And we are being renewed in the knowledge of God. After the image of its creator. Verse 11 is an interesting verse. It'll be our ending verse today. It says, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. Yes, now, what he is describing, he is saying there's no Jew and Greek. Some translations, I think, use the word Gentile and Jew and Gentile. But he says that those are, you know, who is a Gentile? Everybody that's not a Jew. That's what the word Gentile means. Everybody that's not a Jew. He said there is neither this nor this. He says there is neither circumcised or uncircumcised. Now there's no middle ground there. You're either one or the other. And he said it doesn't matter when we are in this new realm in Christ. And then he takes some old examples here that meant a lot to the people in that day. And he says, barbarian and Scythian. Now, you don't even know what a Scythian is. I'm not even sure I do. But he was talking about two kinds of people. Barbarian were those that were uncivilized. And the Scythian people, in the days that Paul wrote these words, they were a group of people that were especially uncivilized. Now, all he's saying is, it doesn't matter if you're slave or you're free. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, all of those things don't count when you're in this new kingdom, in this new realm. And then he says, because, or some translations use the word but Christ is all.
Yes,
amen. He's all. He's all we need.
Amen.
The reality is, he's all we have. Christ is everywhere. He's the creator of all things. He knows how many cells you have in your body. He knows how many hairs you have on your head this morning after you brushed a few out. He knows what we're thinking. He knows everything about what's going on in our world. Christ is all. He's around us. He's a part of everything that exists. He's all. So there doesn't need to be a separation between us. Now, there are those who would separate and say by the color of our skin. How thick is skin, by the way? Like a 64th of an inch? And we separate ourselves by something so minute. And God says when we come into His kingdom, it doesn't matter. If we're in Christ, then we're one, because we are in Christ, and everyone that is in Christ is our brother and sister in Christ. Amen. We have everything that we need. And so what we need to do is we need to start changing the way that we focus.
That's right.
You know, when that guy, when Matt was shooting, you know, there are three kinds of shooting that he shot at the Olympics. The one was they lay on their stomach, one they kneel, and one they stand on their feet and they shoot. It was when he was standing on his feet that he was shooting, and he looked down and he looked at the wrong target. And he was successful at hitting the wrong target because that was his focus. Whatever you're focused on, that's what you're going to hit.
That's right.
So what are you focused on? If you're focused on anything other than Christ, you're on your own. He can't help you.
That's right.
But when we come to surrender our life to Christ and we give our life to Him, then He gives His life to us. He's the King of the universe. He wants to exchange our life for His life. And He wants to live through us. And He wants to change us. He wants to change the way we think. He wants to change the way we act. He wants to change our motives, our attitudes, every part of us. He wants to change us into the very image of Christ, to His image. All He needs from us is cooperation. When Jesus came, He sacrificed a lot for you and I. He gave His very lifeblood so that we might live. And He died for us on the cross. He took our sin and He nailed it to the cross.
Amen.
And if we cooperate with Him, then we can live in a higher plane, a higher level of existence, because it no longer does it have to be earthly. No longer does it have to be wallowing in the mud of this world, in the darkness, going around in the darkness. But He has given us light. He has given us freedom. He has given us joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. Everything we need is in Christ. Everything is before us. All we have to do is cooperate with Him. So why do you resist? It could be that you're resisting because you've never surrendered your life to Christ. I mean, you might have Jesus in your head, but you've never invited Jesus into your heart. It's about 18 inches between. But those 18 inches are everything for us. Until we invite Jesus into our heart, we're on our own. There's no hope for us. The wrath of God is coming for us if that's where we are. But when we invite Christ to come to live inside of us, He comes to transform us, prepare us for heaven. And He wants us to think about heaven. He wants us to think about the glories of heaven. He wants us to think about Jesus on the throne in heaven. He wants us to understand heavenly things in this life. And let me tell you, it's glorious and it's fun and exciting and it's full of blessing. It's everything we need. It's found in Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For Christ is all. Would you cooperate with Him today? How do you start? I believe you start by praying and saying, Lord Jesus, I've messed up. I'm a sinner. I've done some things that are wrong. I want to yield my life. I want to give my life. I want to surrender my life to You. And Lord Jesus, I want You to come to live in my heart. I want You to come and fill me with Your presence. I want You to change me and help me to think about heaven. And so you begin by praying. But there are some Christians that are here that are off track. How far does a train go when it's off track? And I'll just tell you, not very far. A Christian doesn't go very far when they're off track either. Maybe this morning you need to get back on track. Maybe this morning you need to nail something down. I'm gonna challenge you to step out from where you are and respond to God's message. Not to me, but to God's message. If God is speaking to you, I'm gonna challenge you to find the path of holiness and righteousness. Find the path of Christ this morning. I challenge you and encourage you in doing it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that it is alive. And Father, it speaks. Sometimes it speaks harsh and strong. But it's what we need. Help us that we could cooperate with You today. I pray that You would challenge us and encourage us to get back on track. That our focus would be on heaven today. Not on things on the earth, but on heaven, that we could focus on that. I pray that You would speak to those that are lost this morning, that need a Savior. And I pray that You would give them the courage to yield their life to Jesus. Father, speak to us. Draw us to You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.